Father, we just come before you. We just thank you for a real sense of your presence in our church service today. I thank you for each and every person who's gathered here with us today. May the blessing of God be upon each person in this room right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the blessing of God will be upon them and upon their families. And Father, as we just turn to your word right now, Father, I just pray, Lord, that this word will resonate with people. Pray, Lord, that life will flow in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So today's message has been burning in my heart all week long. And this message that I'm going to bring won't be long, but it's actually a reaction to seeing the devil knock people down and steal away their joy. Who knows that the devil's been busy? He's a real person. And he knocks people down, steals their joy. And maybe that's happened to you. And today we're going to draw a line in the sand and we're saying enough is enough. So the title of today's message is time for a comeback. It's time for your comeback. The first 10 months of 2017 may have not gone well for you. I don't know. Nonetheless, you can still have a divinely inspired comeback and finish this year strong. Amen? Perhaps even the last decade, the last 10 years, have not gone well for you. Perhaps you've gone through turmoil, and we don't want to belittle these things. People go through turmoil, everybody. People go through struggles, and maybe you've gone through turmoil and trouble where you've painfully suffered significant loss. And you've been knocked down and you're discouraged and you're feeling like you're defeated. Maybe, you know, stuff happens, doesn't it? Maybe you've lost your marriage. Maybe you've lost your kids through trouble, rebellion, or maybe to drugs. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've lost your health. Maybe you've even lost your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've lost everything that's important to you. But ladies and gentlemen, you have not lost God. God is still with you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? So contrary to what the devil has been screaming at you, it's not over yet for you, no matter what your age is today. Now is the time for your comeback, no matter who you are and no matter how old you are. That's a good place to say amen. In Genesis chapter 15, we read of the covenant that God made with a man called Abraham, whose name was later changed to, we'll call him Abraham, hey? Abraham is an important person in the Bible, in case you didn't know. And some of you heard me speak about this covenant between God and Abraham a couple of weeks ago. Who remembers that message? Really? Wow. Quite a few of you. Michelle, do you remember that message? No. Okay. She's not joking. In this covenant, God prophesied the future to old Abraham, and God said this. He said, know for certain that for 400 years, your descendants or your children or your grandchildren, know for certain that for 400 years, your children will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, Abraham, however, will go to your ancestors in peace, and you will be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your children will come back here. For the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. God gave to Abraham two powerful and profound promises within this prophecy that we've just read. Firstly, God addressed an issue that is very important to everybody in this room, but we just don't like to talk about it. God spoke about Abraham's old age and his eventual death. Everybody dies. We just like to pretend it's never going to happen. And God graciously promised, amen, God graciously promised. Amen. God graciously promised and reassured old Abraham that he would die in peace and be buried at a good old age. It's interesting to note that there are numerous Bible characters that experienced turmoil and they suffered loss when they were young. But then many of them experienced a comeback when they were old. And they finished their lives in peace and in strength. A man named Caleb is a prime example of this. Because of the behavior of others, he lost 40 long years of his life living in the hot Arabian desert. But God sustained him through those difficult years, like God is sustaining you. Then at the age of 85, God restored to Caleb the years that the locust had eaten. And Caleb finished his life prosperous and strong. You could be knocked down, and some of you have been. You could be knocked down. You could be scarred from the circumstances of life. Yes, life is tough. But because of the faithfulness of Almighty God and His covenant with you, you can expect a comeback. Amen. God reassured Abraham that although he lived in a foreign land that was hostile to his faith, he would still live to a good old age and that he would finish strong. Now, a good old age implies that there's a bad old age. It does to me anyway. A bad old age is where fear, worry, and pain dominate a person. We don't want to live to a bad old age being grumpy, fearful, and depressed. And neither did old Abraham. So God graciously reassured Abraham that he did not need to fear and worry about his old age and his eventual death. God was saying, "You will finish strong, Abraham. Abraham, you will not get to the end of your life and be tormented with fear or worry. You will instead have the peace of God." It's the same for us today, everybody. Abraham is the father of all who have faith in God. And we, by faith, can be partakers in Abraham's blessings, including where it concerns our old age and the way we finish our journey this side of eternity. And as we get older, and we're all getting older, even the young people are getting older, they just don't know that yet. We're all getting older. Absolutely. So we're all getting older, but as we get older, the promises of God still remain constant for us. The promises of God are not just for young people, they're for everybody. Psalm 37 verse 25 says, "I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." Deuteronomy 33:25b says, "And your strength will equal your days." Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 91, verse 16 says to us, "With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." So we declare today, ladies and gentlemen, that we will live to a good old age. We will finish strong. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God be upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. In fact, why don't we just say that? Repeat after me. I will live to a good old age, and I will finish strong. Amen, amen. Praise God. The second promise that God prophesied to Abraham in his covenant concerned his kids, concerned his children and descendants. And so what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to paraphrase what God was really trying to say to Abraham, taking into account the context in which the covenant was made. But it went something like this. That's how I see it. God's speaking to Abraham, "When you go to your grave, Abraham, I don't want you to worry about your children and your grandchildren. Yes, Abraham, you will have children, and your children will go through tough times. And Abraham, it may even look bleak for a while. Yes, there will be times when things are not like you want them to be with your children. There will be situations that will break your heart and overwhelm you, and you will see the enemy prevail for a season. But I don't want you, Abraham, to go to your grave worrying about your children or your grandchildren. So I make a promise that your children will return again from the land of bondage. No matter what your children get themselves into, no matter how pessimistic and how negative things look today, there will be a time when the bondage will be broken and your children will have a comeback. So don't be discouraged. Don't fear, Abraham, because you and your family are going to have a comeback. And real life church, you know who I was really aiming at, hey? And real life church, you know, if you're new today, young people, old people, single people, married people, everyone in this room this morning, this is your season for a comeback in Jesus' name. Now, you know, we put on the news, we all see what's going on. The whole world might be gripped with worry, anxiety, and stress. But you are not of this world, dear brother or sister. You belong to God. And this is your season for a divinely inspired comeback. It's comeback time for your family. It's comeback time for your health. It's comeback time for your finances. And it's comeback time for your walk with Jesus Christ. So today is a day to get off the mat if you've been knocked down. Get back up. Come on, get back up. That darkness and that defeat you're facing is only transient. It's passing. It's temporary. The bad reports you hear about your kids have to give way to the promises of God's word. There's going to be a comeback. And even today, God is working to give you the desires of your heart. So today is not a time to quit, give way to fear. Today's not a time to give up. Today's a time to look up and agree with God that this is your season for a comeback. Amen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I think the Beatles had a song based on Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There are 28 different seasons of life that are listed. But one season you will never find in this list is a season to quit. There is never a season to quit. And that is because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And Proverbs 24 verse 16 says, though the righteous fall seven times, they will rise again. Amen. So you're going to have a comeback. You're going to rise again. And you're going to live your life to a good old age. And your children and your grandchildren, they're going to come back again. And maybe your children have strayed from the faith, but they're coming back again. They're coming back again. They're coming back again. And because that's just how it's going to be. Amen. And we serve the comeback God, so we don't give in and we don't quit no matter what. I just got this clip I just want to show you. And some of you will recognize this from the movie Chariots of Fire. Thanks, guys.
Gentlemen, get your marks. Get set.
Get up, lad, get up.
Come on!
Come on!
Thanks, guys. You can fade that out. Thank you. Who was that? Eric Little, who later became a missionary to China. Did you know that? He became a missionary and served God. What a great comeback. Hey, that's your comeback. That's your comeback. And that clip reflects the attitude of our God, because God never gives up. God never says it's too late to win and have a comeback. Amen. Job chapter 14, verse 7 and 9 says, "There is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again. At the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. It does not matter how severely your family tree has been cut down. It does not matter how severely your money tree, your financial tree has been cut down. If that tree that has been cut down looks like it's finished, if that tree can get a scent of water, it will bud again and put forth new roots." The Bible talks about water. The Bible talks about the river of God. And that river or water represents the Holy Spirit. And at the scent of water, that tree starts to bud again. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Your comeback is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's get the scent of water. Let's get the scent of the Holy Spirit to our trees that have been cut down so they can bud again. Amen. Praise God. Prodigal son had to come back. He got himself in a bad situation. He was crushed. He was broken. He was scratching a living, feeding pigs. And he was in trouble because of his own. It was his own fault, by the way. His own bad choices. And in addition, he hurt everybody in his family. But one day, he jumped the fence out of the pig pen and he headed back home. And maybe somebody here today needs to do that. And while he was still a long way from home, his father saw him and ran towards him, because his father was always looking for his son to come home. And when the father got to his son, he embraced him and he kissed him. And then his father brought him the rest of the way back home. And the father in this story is a picture of God. When you draw near to God, he will always draw near to you. If you start moving back to God, he will always run towards you. He will embrace you. He will kiss you. He will help you get back home. God will help you make your comeback to faith from whatever disaster you are in. If you're broken, if you're hurt, if you're disillusioned, if you're addicted, if you're discouraged, if you're rejected, or if you're backslidden, then return to God. Come home and make your comeback happen in Jesus' name. The Apostle Peter had a terrible ministry failure in his life. At a key moment, Peter denied he even knew the Lord. "I don't know him," he said. And Peter then, after that event, Peter then went and wept bitterly over his failure. Have you ever wept bitterly over your failures and bad choices? Peter did. Peter failed. And this world is a cruel world. Peter failed, and people write failures off, and maybe people have written you off. But after Jesus rose from the dead, he told the disciples, including Peter, to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And after Jesus ascended to heaven, that is what they all did. And Peter walked up the stairs to the upper room, a failure. But in that upper room, he got the scent of water. He encountered the Holy Spirit of God. And then he made his comeback. He then left the upper room and preached the gospel, and over 3,000 people got saved. You can make your comeback. Jesus restores failures. Amen. The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is ready to come upon you today and give you your comeback. Maybe you're not shouting like you used to shout. Maybe you're not praying like you used to pray. Maybe you're not faith-filled like you used to be. And the devil wants you to think, oh, it's just all gone. Just all gone, that favor and that blessings and that joy and awe of God. They're just gone forever. But they're not gone forever. They are not gone. There is a river flowing. There is a scent of water in this place today, in Jesus' name. This is your season for a comeback. Is anybody picking up the message today? Amen, amen. The Bible character, Samson. He's a fascinating example of a comeback. Samson had a unique covenant with God, and Samson had a unique gift from God. Anybody remember what his gift was? He was strong, wasn't he? And it, by the way, he was only strong when the Holy Spirit came upon him. I hate drawings of Samson where they paint him like he's got muscles. He didn't have muscles. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I knew he didn't have muscles because he was so undisciplined he would never have done any workouts. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, he became strong. And he was then able to defeat the wicked Philistines because of his strength that came by the Holy Spirit. It was a gift. And the symbol of his covenant agreement with God was his hair. And Samson just wasn't permitted to cut his hair, and it grew really, really long. But we remember in the story of Samson, don't we, that there was a lady called Delilah, and she was an attractive Philistine woman, and she tricked Samson, and she arranged for his hair to be cut while he slept. And that haircut was the most expensive haircut in the whole world. That haircut cost Samson everything, everything. Now, when you all go to get your hair cut, you'll be thinking about this story, won't you? That haircut, Jesse, cost Samson everything. It meant his covenant with God was broken and he lost his strength. He didn't even know. And so then Samson was captured by the enemy and he was then chained up. He was chained up and then they did something really brutal. They burnt his eyes out, took his eyes out. Imagine the pain. Probably the last things Samson ever saw was Delilah just grinning at him as he had his eyes burnt out. They took his vision. And then they put blind Samson to work grinding wheat to make bread for the enemy. Though Samson was meant to be fighting, he was now feeding. And then they mocked him. And the devil and his demons want to come between you and God and do the same thing to you. They want to bind you up with worry, stress, life's concerns, anxiety, worries about the future. They want you to pursue other ambitions. I'll do that. I'll follow that. I'll do this. Then they want to steal your vision where you lose sight of the good promises of God's word to you. And then they mock you as they see you stumble through life from problem to problem, disaster to disaster. The demons always laugh when a saint loses everything. But that's not the end of the story, because Samson makes a comeback. Listen very carefully. Something started to happen with Samson. The hair on Samson's head began to grow again after he was shaven, because the Philistines had cut his hair really short. But the Philistines forgot to pay attention, and something was happening in Samson's head. And that is where a comeback always starts. Before you get a comeback spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally, or financially, it starts in your thinking. It starts in your head first, in your thinking first. Samson's hair started to grow and the Philistines did not notice. In the same way, your comeback starts with the promises of God being seeded back into your thinking. In fact, I've been intentionally been planting seeds of the possibilities of God in your mind for the last 20 minutes, everybody. Your comeback has already started. It started now in Jesus' name. Then Samson eventually walked into the huge temple of the Philistines and he put his hands, you know the story, there's a picture on the screen, put his hands on the pillars of the temple. The temple structure rested on two giant pillars. And Samson prayed to God and said, God, please strengthen me one more time. God, please strengthen me one more time. And God graciously gave Samson, who had disgraced his God, God graciously gave him his comeback. The Holy Spirit fell on him. And I think the Holy Spirit wants to fall upon people in this place today. The Holy Spirit fell on him and gave him supernatural strength again. And he pushed hard on those pillars. And the pillars cracked and they crumbled. And the whole structure came falling down, destroying thousands of enemy wicked Philistines. Samson's greatest victory was in his death. God gave Samson his comeback. And it's time for your comeback today. Good. also. Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago. He was dead and he was buried. The devil wrote him off. Defeated he is. Destroyed he is. But Jesus, as we know, we celebrated today communion. Jesus rose again, triumphant over the enemy. Jesus is risen. And because Jesus has had his comeback, we can have our comeback today. That comeback starts in our thinking and is brought to pass by the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're spiritually dry today. Well, it's time to pick up the scent of water once again. At the scent of water, at the scent of the Holy Spirit, you will bud again. This is, ladies and gentlemen, your season for a comeback. Amen and amen.